Well, good morning, everyone. There's a story of a little boy who constantly was falling out of bed. No matter what his parents did, the boy couldn't sleep without rolling out of bed in the middle of the night. Well, one of his uncles came to visit in the middle of the night. Again, you heard the usual boom, and the boy in a cry, and the boy went out of bed. In the morning, the uncle asked the boy why he always did this. And the little boy thought for a moment. He says, "I don't know, uncle." He says, "Unless it's because I stay too close to the place where I got in." I think we're like that sometimes. We stay close to the edge of where we got in, not realizing the enormous freedom that is available to us. And God has so much for us. But something sometimes holds many back. For some, it might be fear, like we discussed last week. For others, it might be just a lack of awareness. But I believe that to some degree, the body of Christ needs an awakening. An awakening gets its name from the fact that people by the masses suddenly become aware that there is more to life than just what they see around them. It is usually preceded by what would be considered a period of dryness. Churches can dry up because there's no spiritual life within them. Sometimes the gospel is watered down to nothing, no substance to it. Many preachers, I'm not saying all, but some will preach empty words trying to avoid the truth of the gospel. Sin sometimes is the driving motivation in the hearts of people. But then something happens. Because you guess what? God hasn't gone anywhere. Because you see, God is bigger than all those that would try to suppress him. God can't be suppressed. Our country has seen many periods, or some periods, of great awakenings, as they're called, when masses of people across the country would come to Christ. Many rededicating their lives back to the Lord. Others finding Christ for the first time. Ministers such as Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield were not holding back on the truth of the gospel as they went around and preached it. People began to see the truth and the completeness that comes through the very Spirit of God. And people by the droves began to commit or recommit their lives to Christ. People were no longer holding back their faith. They would share it with others. Soon, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people were set free from sin and experienced a new kind of freedom that only comes from a relationship with God. Many history books concede that these awakenings played a big part in actually forming the foundation of our country. These awakenings have been like a ripple through history, and they're still going, and we still see them. It hasn't stopped. Many people here in Sarasota, Bradenton area have felt for years that something is stirring in the hearts of people around us. Some ask, well, what does that mean? Well, it simply means that the hearts of people are burning for truth. They want to experience the reality of God in their lives. For those of you who are newer to the congregation, I have shared this with others. When I first came here as rector of Nativity, as we drove down Lockwood Ridge Road and around, checking them out, or riding around the church, and I saw a vision of this place being a lighthouse of hope for those who are lost, a beacon of hope. True freedom is a wonderful gift given to us. It is at the very heart of Paul's message to the Romans. Paul speaks of being a slave, in the Greek, doulos, means to be in ownership of. And in this passage, Paul speaks of slave or slavery 10 times, and he uses it as in the sense of being a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. One of them is going to own us. We have the tendency to shy away from the word sin, don't we? We don't like talking about sin. It's just not a popular topic that people like to talk about. When was the last time you walked up to a close friend and says, "Is there any sin in your life bugging you this week?" We should do that sometimes. I'm in an accountability group, and we have that freedom to do that with one another. But it's something we all have to deal with. It's important. Paul knows what it's like to be in bondage to sin. He readily admits and testifies to the bondage that sin had on him prior to his conversion. Remember what he was like before he gave his life to Christ? He knew the feeling and the tremendous weight it can bring down on someone. He knew the separation that it created in his own life. Because to live a life of sin is to live a life that is separated from God. Just look at the opening remarks in our reading today in Romans. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you may obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Paul is talking to a culture that he knows all too well. He is a Jew, but he's also a Roman citizen. And that culture was deep in issues that separated them from God. It's almost like an anything goes type of a civilization in the way that you treated yourself and your body. Paul is telling them that they are using their body as an instrument of sin. The lust of the flesh, the overindulgence can bring death. So Paul is saying, offer your bodies to God. Don't be a slave to sin. You see, there's only two choices that we can make. Like I said, we are either going to be a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. Either one or the other is going to have control or dominate your life. Paul is bringing up an awakening to the Romans because that is what he is saying. Wake up. In his letter to the Ephesians, he says, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. You see, Paul is saying when Christ died on that cross, Jesus paid a price for you and for me and for all of humankind. He is offering a way out of the bondage of sin. After trying to explain this to the Romans, Paul said, let me make it very clear. I'll make it very simple in human terms. And I'm paraphrasing. He says, do you want to live in a bondage that can only lead to death, both physically and eternally, or do you want to be a slave to God, which brings wholeness? Which do you choose? And folks, that's the question for us today as well. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the one who keeps falling out of bed, especially when God has so much more for us. We have the same issues that every generation has had, and it's all related. The only thing that has changed is time and technology. Issues of the heart have never changed, and they never will. Greed has always been greed. Lust has always been lust. Selfish desires have always been selfish desires. Covetousness has always been covetousness. What do we find when we search our heart? What is it that drives us? Does sin drive us? Things that you know separate you from God? We are reminded from last week when Jesus said, unless we put him first, we don't belong to him. God has to become first in our lives. He conquered sin for us. We don't have to let that control us. It doesn't mean we don't sin, but it means that it's not the dominating factor in our lives. Which brings me to another topic I want to make. I heard a teaching on this when I was a young Christian, and I've heard it several times over the years, and once a couple of weeks ago, and then I found myself in a discussion about it a couple of weeks ago. Hear this. If you have received Christ into your life, if he reigns supreme in your life, and you are walking with him, learning from him, if you are born again in Jesus Christ, quit calling yourself a sinner. You are not a sinner anymore. Again, that doesn't mean we don't sin. It doesn't mean we weren't a sinner. I was a sinner once. But we have been reborn in Christ. To keep calling yourself a sinner is to associate yourself with your old self. I don't know about you, but I don't want to associate myself with my old self. I've left that behind me. I don't want to keep going back to that place. In other words, I don't want to keep rolling out of bed. I'm a child of God, reborn by the free gift of grace through Jesus Christ, resting, resting in the arms of God through his Spirit, is such much more nicer than banging your head on the floor. It all comes back to what Jesus has been telling us through the gospel readings the past few weeks. He is calling us into a process of discipleship, of growing in our faith. Again, that is exactly what Paul is asking us. Do we want to be a slave to sin? It only leads to death and separation. Or do we want to be a slave of righteousness? Paul said, "So now present yourselves as slaves of righteousness, leading to sanctification." So how do we offer our bodies as slaves of righteousness? We are told that we are created in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit, three parts. When we receive Christ into our lives, our spirit comes alive. It is reborn. And our soul becomes a work in process as we are transformed from our sinful nature into the likeness of Christ through a process of sanctification, which is growing in Him. Our bodies become glorified. It is the place where God resides. We are His temple where He resides. And the body, soul, and spirit work together to become what God intended it to be, walking and working in union with Him. Paul reminds us later in Romans that Jesus gives life to our mortal bodies through the Spirit that lives in us. We are made righteous in Him. If I were to ask you if you were righteous, what would you say? Righteous is another one of those words we don't like to call ourselves. I find it odd that many don't mind calling themselves sinners, but they don't like to call themselves righteous. It's like we're trying to be super humble or something. You see, we are so ingrained to think of being righteous as being in a self-serving way, as in being self-righteous. We might think of it by saying, "Oh, I'm better than you." I want you to understand that's not righteousness. It doesn't come from anything that we do. It comes from everything Christ has done. Only through Him are we made righteous. Through Jesus Christ, we are made right with God. That's what righteousness means. And get this, that certainly makes you better than you were before you knew Christ. The love of God permeates through us in the deepest core of our being, just like that sword that we talked about that Jesus said, "I bring a sword." It cuts out the old stuff and builds us up into Him. That kind of love is in direct opposition to what once controlled us, the greed and the pride of life. Christ becomes the most important aspect of our lives, and He is the primary focus, what keeps us connected to the Father. And that becomes the driving force of our relationships, our vocation, or whatever we are, like we talked about last week. Jesus is first in our lives. Of course, this week we celebrate the founding of this great nation that we call home. Most of our founding fathers had that kind of relationship. Some were deists. In fact, I've told you before, I was a deist who believes that God is out there somewhere, but He's not active in our personal lives. He was just an entity somewhere. But most saw the country as a city setting on a hill, a lighthouse of sorts of hope and freedom. And that has become, to their understanding of the true foundation, comes from a foundation in Jesus Christ. Look at the buildings they built and the money they printed. It's all over them. They inscribed it on them. We are so blessed in this country. We have freedoms like few countries have ever had or ever will have. But let us never forget that the freedom we share today has its very root in a freedom of another kind, freedom from sin. That is why we must be spiritually awake, because there are people out there who need and want to wake up. Maybe there's some people here today who need an awakening or a revived in their lives or to wake up. I know there's a lot of people out there. Who's going to bring that news to them? May our hearts always be ready. May our parish always be ready. May our ministries always be ready. May we be ready. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, who gave it to us freely. Receive it. Allow it to grow in you. Walk in that righteousness that he has given to you, because he wants to use you in a mighty, mighty way. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you are doing in your body. Father, I ask that you would wake up the church, that you have done so much for us. You have set us free from the bondage of sin and allowed us to walk in the freedom of you, Lord God. So, Father, I ask that you would help us in our walk. Encourage us in our walk. Father, there are so many people out there who need to know you, who are looking for something in their lives, and they're only finding it in drugs and addiction and whatever, Lord God. So we ask, Lord, that as these people are put in our path, wherever they may be, that you would give us the encouragement and the boldness to speak out, to bring the love that only you can bring into their lives. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.